Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mad Ranters Historical Podcast.
Hello, I'm the Mad Ranter, Max Hamill.
And for the next 15-20 minutes, we will take you on a journey through history. Is that right, Max? Mr. Ranter?
It is. Today we are going over our first season's material, which is... Don't worry about it. I've recorded it, and I've done recordings, and it doesn't pick up. That's why I got the fancy headphones. Don't worry. I'll edit all this out. So, don't worry about it.
So, okay, for those of you that don't know, this is a rather low-budget production, and we've got a humidifier running in the background because we're in the frozen tundra where it's 17 below, and the air is really dry, and we have to run a humidifier. So don't let that hum in the background bother you. While we're talking about, who are we talking about today?
Well, the first season we're going after people who aren't well known from history, who have been forgotten from history and should be known. And today we're going after Tom Quick, America's first serial killer.
Ooh, a lot of, seriously?
Yes. Oh now, a lot of people think H.H. Holmes, also known as Herman Webster Mudgett, was America's first serial killer. That's not true. Tom Quick was. In fact, he predated America.
Okay.
Now, the debate about him is whether he was an agent of revenge or actually a serial killer. We'll get into that. He was born in 1734.
Okay.
And died in 1796.
Okay, that was a long time ago.
Long, long time ago. In Milford, Pike County, Pennsylvania.
I think I've been there.
Have you been there?
I think I've been there.
You think you've been there?
It's pretty, yeah.
It's pretty?
Yeah.
His father was born in 1690. His father was also named Tom.
Okay.
And he married Tom Quick's mother, Margarita Decker, in 1713. Now, when they moved to Milford, they were the first white people in the area. Pretty common in that time period. And back then, the Native Americans were pretty... accepting of the local populace because they were actually better warriors. So if they wanted you out, you were out. Most people traded horses or gold for their land because it was too dangerous to just, this is ours now, like in later time periods.
Okay.
They couldn't do it. So they would give them horses or gold. The gold was for rifles and gunpowder and things like that. And copper pots and pans were actually more important than rifles.
Seriously?
Yes.
Because, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because kind they, because what happened, they would have to do is they would have to take a clay pot and superheat rocks and put them in to sterilize water, which is a long, frustrating process. Now think about it this way. How many times your wife would have burned her hands doing that? So you want those copper pots and pans.
Sure.
So, and also... There were a lot of other things in play with the Native American populace, too. As I said, they also didn't... The horses, you would think, oh, Native Americans have their own horses. East Coast Native Americans didn't have their own horses. They didn't. It wasn't until the fact that they had never... White people had never ever met an Indian on horseback till they got to the plains and actually met, I believe, the Comanches or Lakota. I can't remember which. So... Tom Quick Sr. gets to Milford, and he builds a log cabin, a very stereotypical, hard life, not easy, but it's something a lot of people wanted because when you live in that time period, the aristocracy owned all the land. There's very little chance you were going to own your own land, very little chance you were going to have a better life than your children were going to have a better life than you. So everyone kept pushing out west, pushing out west, pushing out west, so they could have some land, and their children could build up, and their great-grandchildren wouldn't be beggars. So that's why this is so important.
Yeah.
So there were first white settlers in the area, and as a result, Tom Quick became good friends with the local Native Americans. Those were his only friends. And he grew up playing with those children, specifically a man or a young boy named Mushwink. Now, these were the Knapp members of the Delaware tribe.
Okay, that's an interesting name.
I don't know what it means.
Okay.
If a Lenape, a woman who's a Lenape, also known as the Delaware tribe, wants to hit me up with an email and explain what it means, I'm happy to listen. But he learned to hunt, fish, and trap the Delaware way. He was so much so that he was sometimes considered an Indian himself. Now, time progresses, and the catalyst for Tom Quick being a serial killer comes near. And that is the tragedy, really, that is the French and Indian War. The French and Indian War was a really awful affair. It's actually considered one of the first big international wars in history. The French and Indian War took from 1754 to 1763. Between Great Britain fighting France and many Native American allies the French had, because the French were better than the British to the natives. So the French didn't want to take over as much as they did. If you've seen, what's that movie? The Last of the Mohicans. They talk about that in Last of the Mohicans. The British were not as good trading partners. They were more aggressive. And a common theme in this conflict was, well, there are a lot of nasty themes, but was while colonial militiamen were serving with British soldiers, who treated them awfully bad. The British officers were particularly mean to the local colonials. The French...
What year was this again?
This was from 1754 to 1763.
Okay.
This was when the French and War went on.
Okay.
So, during the conflict, Native Americans would be sent to by the French to raid defenseless or relatively unprotected homesteads.
Okay.
Because the men were off fighting. And the women were tough at that time, but not tough enough to fight off a whole band of... And that's very typical warfare of many tribal people around the world. Attack when the men are out hunting. So we shouldn't judge the Delaware for doing this. It's part of human nature.
Okay.
It's smart, too. I want a wife. The woman over there, very common throughout human history.
Okay.
Now, those attacks led to colonial resentment later on, which helped lead to the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
Because imagine this, you're fighting the British's war for them, you come home, your family's dead.
I would not like that.
No one would like that, no. So during the conflict, the Quick family took refuge with their neighbors in New Jersey, because they're across the Delaware River. And there was a fortified stone house, the locals were there. Fortified stone house, might as well be a fort. Problem is, they ran out of food in the winter of 1756.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a big problem with when you're fortified. The biggest problem is being starved out.
Yeah.
So they made a run for Tom, his father, and Tom's brother-in-law, whose name's been lost to history, went to Tom Sr.'s mill, Milford. He probably had a mill at a Florida river, hence the name Milford Pike County. And all night long, they ground corn to feed everybody. So they're running away with the corn back across to New Jersey. Tom's father was shot by a Delaware Indian. And he said, "Leave me, I'm dead." They're running across the frozen Delaware River. And he turns around and he sees Delaware men attack and begin to cut off his belt buckles and his personal silver belt buckles and personal possessions that they wanted because they were valuable. And this is typical warfare of many people. But he sees the war leader get up to deliver the killing blow,
mm-hmm.
and it's Mushwink, mm-hmm. his childhood friend.
Oh!
And Mushwink,
seriously?
Yep, this is what war does.
And Mushwink knew what he was doing. He knew he was killing his friend's dad.
Yeah, yes.
So
People in those time period back then, you didn't have gossip. You knew everyone around you. It's like when you live at 100 people, you know everybody.
Yeah, I suppose.
When you live in a small village.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing. And that's typical of warfare. In a war band, they're the other. Kill them.
Okay.
Kill them now. So, and what Tom later wrote down, what he said, this is a quote of the time, "The blood of the whole Indian race is not sufficient to atone for the blood of my father."
Ooh, you see where he's going there.
Yeah, so that, let's talk about this, because this is kind of a real seminal moment in someone's life when they see their childhood friend, probably their best friend along their whole life, kill their father because the French told them to. Probably for profit, because the French were paying the natives off.
Okay.
This is something the British did, the Tories did in the Revolutionary War too.
Yeah.
So, that probably, if he did become a psychopathic serial killer, that's probably what triggered the event.
Yeah, so he probably had it in him already mm-hmm. to be that way, and he saw that, and then it just unleashed it in him.
That's something we see in serial killers is a lot of people who have psychopathy written to their DNA do not go through a traumatic event, which sort of unleashes it onto the world, which actually makes sense why the world's getting safer and safer and safer. A little bit of stability was created. Okay. Then as a result, a little bit more stability is created. Because a lot of war chiefs, quote unquote, are often just psychopaths that are given free rein during
the
war.
Sure, yeah, I get that.
So, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think... Because of that, what would you do if you saw a childhood friend kill a family member?
Well, I don't think, I think I would be very upset, but I don't think personally I'd be into genocide or wiping out a whole race because of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just me. But certainly I'd have unbelievable anger and confusion and bitterness and, yeah. How I'd handle it, I don't know, but... It sounds like I know where this guy's going, and I don't know that I'd go there.
We got to go over it. Racism at the time, which I don't really like judging people for racism back then, because it was kind of the order of the day. Mm-hmm. Everyone believed that for thousands of years. My people are the best people.
Uh-huh.
That's I'd go over all over the world. My people are the best people. So to say that people were racist back then, uh-huh. everyone was racist back then.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyways.
But, people intermarried and things like that, though.
Pardon me?
People intermarried, though.
Yeah.
Like,
a lot, well, that was kind of my point, is he's hanging around with Native Americans most of his life to the point where he was almost accepted by the Delaware and the Lenape.
Yeah.
Probably. He probably thought he was one of them. He probably thought, these are my buddies, they'll never go after me.
Oh,
he probably felt betrayed. And he's probably going into town buying supplies. You hang around with those filthy Indians. He's going, no, they're people, screw you.
Yeah.
He probably defended them, took care of them, hunted with them, fished with them, and that builds a bond. And that bond snapped and probably broke his heart. A lot of assholes come out of people with being a broken heart. But that's conjecture. We don't really know. But we're all human beings, and no one likes having their heart broken. And no one likes seeing their father, most people don't like seeing their father murdered.
Yeah, most people don't like that.
So there's a ton of stories that come out of this because, one thing happens and then the stories grow and there are a lot of tall tales back then. For instance, official records, during the war, Tom starts murdering Delaware, the Lenape. Let's just call them Delaware because they're called the Delaware back then.
So members of the Delaware tribe. Right now it's revenge.
It's revenge. But the stories vary. For instance, it's said on his deathbed he killed 99 of them, mm-hmm. and he wanted one more to be brought to him so he could murder them and say he had 100.
Jeez.
Yeah, that sounds like someone made up, and
yeah,
a writer
does,
made
yeah.
up. That's what it sounds like. Official records say he killed 4 Delaware.
Oh, that's
just
a
4.
Big difference, 4 versus
yeah.
100.
So that's, now maybe some people didn't get written down. Da, da, da. But here's one of the stories. That he shot, a family was canoeing down the river, and he picked them off and shot them off the canoe, which would be fairly easy to do. Mother, 3 kids, father, he shoots dad and just takes his time reloading and shooting.
Aww.
And then he killed the children,
aww.
Allegedly. And they said, why did you make the children? He said, nits make lice.
Ooh.
So that's a pretty nasty.
That's very nasty.
But again, it could be an apocryphal story. Here's another story. That may or may something that may or may not have actually happened. 7 Delaware come out of the woods and say, "Hey, Tom, we want to go talk to you. Come with us." While he was splitting a log, now neither one of you knows that split. But he's splitting a log to make rails.
Okay.
So like railings on a fence.
Okay.
And that's not an easy process. We take. Everything was so much harder back then. We take buying lumber from Home Depot or Menards. So it's. You had to chop down a tree. They need to get a wedge.
That's a pain in the neck.
Yeah.
Going to Menards or Home Depot
and buying
wood.
We think that's a pain.
That's drudgery for me.
Now imagine chopping down a tree.
Yeah.
Hammering nails in the tree to attach to a chain so you can attach it to your oxen. If you have oxen. Maybe you just have a donkey or something to drag over to the house. Then you have to lift it up and put it on a special rail splitting stand. It's a long process.
Yeah.
So I digress. He's putting wedges in, he's splitting it, and he tells the natives, "All right, guys, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. But first, help me split this rail." And they're like, "Dead man's request." Or on top of that, a lot of Native people are very friendly throughout history. Whenever you read about ethnographers and anthropologists going, "Hi, how are you?" They're happy to see you. They're very friendly back. So they put their hands in to help him split this log. He knocks the wedge out. Their fingers are trapped.
No way.
He killed them all at his pleasure.
Oh, jeez. Wow, that's just gruesome.
That is quite gruesome. So,
but they were going to kill him.
Probably.
So was it maybe self-defense?
It was self. It's also probably not something that actually happened.
It maybe didn't happen. Just a good story.
This is stuff Davy Crockett would have read growing up too, but he was very pro-Indian though. At the time, there were a lot of pro-Indian people too. You have William Penn. Who is of Pennsylvania? Who the founder of Providence? I think his name's John Smith or Joseph Smith. I'm not
Joseph
joking.
Joseph Smith. No, he went out to Utah.
No, there's another.
Oh, there's another. Just, one.
I can
okay.
Google it, which is acceptable. It's acceptable. But there is also George Washington Irving, who wrote stuff about Native Americans. Like he said, they're not savages. They're not special. People who commune with nature, they're just people, we should leave them alone, which a lot of people wouldn't even need to hear that today. So, Providence.
There's some Googling going on.
There's some
right
Googling
now.
Going on, but that's acceptable.
It's acceptable, I guess.
Hey, if Bill Burr can do it, I can do it.
Yeah, hey, time check here. How are we doing on time?
17.
Okay. All right. While the Mad Ranter is Googling.
Roger Williams was the founder.
Joseph Smith, Roger Williams, you know, close enough.
I don't know why, but he was a Baptist. And he said it was the providence of God. That I can never remember his name. I can remember anything about the town. But he was also pro-Native American. There are a bunch of...
All right, I get what you're saying.
So, it wasn't... not everyone was, "Yay, Tom Quick, murder everyone." So...
Right. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
In 1764, when he was about 30 years old, Tom was at a tavern near Reading, Pennsylvania. And while he was there, a Delaware walked up to him and said, "Come drink with me. Come drink with me. Come drink. Have a drink with me. Have a drink with me." Tom wasn't having any of it. "Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." Then the Delaware came up and said, "You hate the Delaware. I hate you. I will kill you."
Okay.
Kill me. Being drunk and abrasive. And it's just like, what he didn't know, maybe he didn't recognize him, it's Mushwink.
It was. Mushwink. Oh, my gosh.
And then... he goes, wait, it can't be you. He takes out one of his Tom
Shut
Quick Sr.'s belt buckles
no.
and says, "It is me, and I'm going to kill you."
Wow.
Now, Tom gets angry because now it's the
personal.
Betrayer.
Yeah.
He grabs a rifle. Oh, no, it was a rifle off of, that was hanging over the mantle of the tavern fireplace, like they used to do.
Because
you wanted to grab it so you could grab it in case.
Yeah.
Pushes Mushwink out, push and shoots him in the street.
Wow. Is that a story or is
no,
that
this
factual?
No, this is factual. This is down the public record.
Okay.
Now, problem is the French and Indian War is over.
Okay.
Just
so
ended.
Now it's murder.
Now it's murder. And this is a huge brink of peace because they just made peace with all these Native people.
Ah.
And the last thing they need is Delaware storming over the hills to murder everyone.
Right. Don't need that.
Well, here's what they did. They charged him with murder,
uh-huh.
threw him in the jail, and broke him out.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, you can do that back then. You can't do it now. So... he died, and then he died of smallpox in 1796.
That's so anticlimactic. And then he died. No.
Because not much happened after that. He just had a normal life after he was like America's first serial killer. We don't hear any of this. People forget him. In 1890, they put up a statue of him.
Wow.
Put up a statue of him. This is 1890. It's just after a lot of the Indian nations are conquered, because the Wild West didn't really end until 1911. At the same time, in 1890, a lot of reservation Native Americans are pissed off because the government's been cheating them. So we'll feed you, but they didn't feed them. We'll give you houses, but they didn't give them houses. We'll do all these modern. They didn't do any of it. But they did give them rifles so they could hunt.
Okay.
So what'd they do? Well, they did what they've done for thousands of years. I'm hungry. My neighbors are hungry. I'm going to raid my neighbors. So that's probably why they put the statue up. It was vandalized 100 years later in 1997. And in 2004, what's his name? Chuck Gentlemoon, the interim chief of the Delaware Nation, pointed out, this guy's a part of history, but there are Klansmen who murdered, lynching in the South. That's part of their history, and they have statues to it. So, the statue was removed and taken to a secret place. When the Pike County Historical Society asked, "Where's the statue?" Without missing a beat, the spokeswoman said, "If I told you, I'd have to kill you."
Ha ha ha.
So, closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. I don't know if that's necessarily the definition of a serial killer. Is it? Cause
no, it sounds like this guy got pissed off.
Serial
his dad
killer
just killed him
sneaky.
More and was just an asshole about it.
Yeah. He was more. It was like a revenge thing.
It was very much revenge. And
but it's interesting.
It is interesting. I think they threw the word serial killer out there because, to be frank, no one likes to hear about Native Americans getting murdered in 2000s. Now it's wrong, as I just pointed out. Murder's always
just
wrong. In general,
We'll just go with that, yeah.
But, yeah, it's an interesting point of American history.
It is, yeah. I agree. That was a good rant.
Good rant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners. Hit subscribe. Donate to my Patreon that I don't have yet. And I will see you in the next podcast.